Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Well, good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. Hopefully you had a blessed and restful weekend. This is The Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, back at it once again. The last week for Straight Up Humility Month. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning everyone out there. Welcome to Monochromatic Monday, where the truth of God is black and white.
Yes.
And also very, very precise.
You know, I'll say.
Well, I guess you'd have to be black and white, you know, with the
truth.
That's
right. Monochromatic, it's black and white.
No mushy gray anywhere about the truth.
No. And boy, what a spin. Speaking of mushy gray middle ground area with this attempted coup, or what they're saying is an attempted coup with Russia.
Right.
This weekend.
Right.
Wow.
Is it really?
You talk about the stories and speculation flying.
Well, yes, exactly. Because I've got right here from Derek Bros, the willing witness. This is just a theory, of course. But if it's true, this could be one of the ultra brilliant military maneuvers of the modern era. It says, let me set this timestamp. If Putin faked the coup to dupe NATO and oust disloyal military inside Russia, not to mention dupe Ukraine into advancing, thinking Russia was weak, revealing their entire offensive, all while taking money from NATO, $6.2 billion payout through his loyal private militia is straight out genius.
Right.
And genius military tactics that may go down as one of the greatest moves in military history. True David and Goliath scene if this proves to be true. So, you know, there's all sorts of rampant speculation, which of course always happens in these coups. I mean, you know, everybody's being real tight-lipped, and they have to be.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody involved are masters at misinformation and disinformation.
Right.
Desinformatia was something the KGB had down, and they used it, during the Soviet Union. And NATO and the deep state, they've got the disinformation down.
Yep.
So you can't even tell what's real. Sadly, I mean, if this whole thing was staged, they shot down at least, well, they're saying they shot down. We saw some helicopters and airplanes shot down.
Right.
And now there's speculation over what planes were really shot down and who did it. And some of them are staged and everything else. So it's gotten to the point where you have to question everything.
No kidding.
I mean, you can't take anything for face value anymore. Those days are gone. The only thing left is God's word. That's the only thing you can take at face value anymore.
Especially since the very first rule of war, according to Sun Tzu, is deception.
Oh, yeah.
That's the very first rule of war. And so, you know, I would just be hoping that this theory that I just read is correct, and that Putin is sitting behind some closed doors going, ha ha, you know, because that would be perfect to find that out. But, you know, it's hard to say, especially when people, like in our own nation, you know, I hate to say this, but Judicial Watch, they are just now arriving at the conclusion that the Biden presidency is actually a Biden regime. And so, you know, wow, boy, they're
catching up. That's good.
They've crushed some tomatoes, and now they're catching up.
Catch up.
Doing a little catch up, right?
You know, Judicial Watch, they are, in most areas, they're cutting edge. I mean,
I
they are so on top of it. So it is always kind of puzzling when you see somebody that is, you know, on the razor's edge of geopolitics and going after the bad guys, you know, the corrupt people, to finally do something like that is like they just woke up.
I know.
Somebody on their staff woke up and wrote an article, and somebody didn't stop them in time.
Right.
We already knew that.
They're saying, Judicial Watch is saying that with the arrest of Trump, the Biden administration is now the Biden regime. No, no, absolutely not. It's been the Biden regime since November 2020. It was a coup.
The headline is Judicial Watch finally admitted.
Finally that, caught on.
Yeah.
Well, talk about late to the game. My gosh. And so then I, you know, I'm going to have to point this out. General Flynn is typically viewed in good favor, but I've been kind of disappointed in everything that he's done, because he's one of our leaders and he's somebody that I felt could have taken a hold of the reins and really done some major organizing and directing in, you know, through the American people to this coup, you know, and he didn't. He just hung back in the shadows and he never stepped up and did anything. But even now he's saying there's no reasonable doubt that President Biden, by the way, he doesn't refer to it as the Biden regime. He says, no doubt that President Biden was an active participant in an unlawful international influence peddling scheme. And, well, no kidding. And why is he so late to that conclusion as well?
Right.
Marjorie Taylor Greene has been saying that for the past, what, month and a half? Reporting on that? She's had evidence in her hand for over a month and a half now, and General Flynn is now just saying, oh, I think that's possible.
I know. Well, you look at someone like that and you're like, that's a leader. There's our leader. We need those types of leaders. The George Washingtons, Thomas Jeffersons, those people are not out there in leadership. Those people exist, but they're on farms.
Right.
You know, they're in a welding shop.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, we have nobody like that is, you know, rising to the surface. General Flynn's a great guy. He's a Christian conservative who was in the military and made general.
Right.
His normal operating space is a very regimented, controlled chain of command,
yep,
political environment that he learned to thrive in and still be, when you could still be a patriot and be at the Pentagon, right?
Right.
And that's it. His mind is, he's so institutionalized that his mind couldn't think outside the, you know, over resisting a coup.
Right, exactly.
That's
where Trump excels, in the fact that he's been left up to all of his own genius tactics, his own education, his own will and spirit in order to shape a true leader. You know
right.
what I mean? Where he thinks on his own, he doesn't wait for somebody else to tell him how to think. He figures it out and he does it and he carves the path.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's proved. Because everybody around the world keeps asking him, well, what would you do in this situation? You know, they know he knows what's going on and that he can figure out the best way to work through things. Otherwise, people wouldn't keep asking him.
Well, once again, we're just at a time when you need a killer.
Right.
When David went up against Goliath, they needed somebody who was courageous, who had been in fights, who could take the bad guy down and cut his head off.
Right.
With his own sword.
Yep.
And you need a killer. And that's the only thing, like what we saw with the coup yesterday. I mean, people are like, oh, the Wagner Group, that private military company, they're all like convicts and dirtbags, bad guys, and war criminals. Well, that's the kind of people that could pull off a coup.
Yep, right.
I mean, the Russian military were joining them as they were going through.
Well, for instance, I mean, look at who Hitler used in his prison camps. He used serial killers that were released from prison. In fact, he specifically picked serial killers to guard the camps and to be in charge of protocol and everything that was going on in those camps. Serial killers.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying we need serial killers to take our country back.
No, but I'm saying that's the type of mentality that military does look for in certain cases like that.
Yeah, some do. And, you know, our founding fathers, too, we're coming up on, you know, Independence Day. A lot of our founding fathers, Christians, godly men, God-fearing men, they were tar and feathering people, which oftentimes would result in death.
Yep.
And those are the men who put their pen to paper when it came time to sign the Declaration of Independence.
That's right.
They were willing to board a ship and throw, you know, today's equivalent of millions of dollars worth of cargo overboard and destroy it, you know.
Right.
And face off with the bad guys. So, I don't know, that spirit, it's there, but it's not as robust as it was.
Well, and you know, it's kind of like, it's certainly not wrong either, because as we've seen biblically, all sorts of stuff happens in the Bible that you would think God would have been like, oh no, that was really bad. But in turn, when somebody stepped out and really, you know, they killed somebody like impromptu.
Yeah.
God was like, woohoo, you know, like Phinehas. And, yes. When, let me see, who is the woman that killed Jael? Remember that in the temple, she took the tent spike and drove it right through his temple.
Right.
And God honored both Phinehas and that woman for doing that. Cause it's like a cut to the chase. You know, if you just take out the one problem that's at the top, the pivotal guy, the nexus guy, you know, it seems to fix all sorts of stuff really fast. And so stuff like that is always surprising when I read that, you know, especially with the modern version of Jesus today being nothing but, you know, the Christian church that wants to go to church for 40 minutes exactly on Sundays.
Start looking at their watch at 38 minutes.
Yes. And then, you know, then they've got the rest of their week to go back to the normal world. And they think that Jesus is strictly about, you know, love everybody. You know, I mean, I feel sorry for those people because they don't know the character of God.
Well,
God
is definitely... We wouldn't have America if they thought like that back then.
Exactly. And God most certainly is love. I mean, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah.
He is. That is one of his definitions, in fact. The biggest one, I'd have to say. But he also is just. And he also, he's long-suffering, but there comes a point when he goes, enough is enough.
Yep.
And then he puts on the garments of wrath.
Right.
You know, cause like we can put on all the garments of, you know,
or armor.
The armor of what's the word?
I'm the armor of God.
The armor of God.
Yes.
And the only part of the armor of God that people are not equipped with is vengeance. And so the Lord in his wrath, he will put on the armor of vengeance, and then he's the only one that gets to use vengeance. That's missing from ours.
We can implement justice, but we cannot implement vengeance.
Vengeance, right.
According to God, right, absolutely. Yep. And when he comes back, his vengeance is going to be poured out.
Yep.
I mean, you talk about how God's going to deal with this. I mean, now we have transvestites marching, saying, we're here, we're queer, and we're coming for your children.
Yeah, they flat out will say that now.
Right. And I mean, it's just, there's not holding anything back. That's what, so when the Lord comes back, I mean, billions of people are going to die.
Yep.
It's going to, when he pours out these bowls of wrath and breaks these seals,
right?
These are God, his wrath being poured out on the earth. You talk about harsh.
Yes. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord.
Right. And here, Christians standing up against evil or corruption or wickedness, even raising their voice, gets hushed by the rest of the Christians.
Right.
That's not very Christian, you know.
Right.
And so, and we're talking about just defending the innocent.
Right.
And upholding justice. You get beaten down by Christians who were, you know, we can only be polite. We just have to be polite, soft-spoken and polite.
Right.
Well, there's a time and season for everything.
That's right.
And so we've lost discernment, I think, really, to how to apply that. And that's,
Well, a lot of that discernment comes from understanding that this is not the only generation that has happened since Christ was resurrected, right?
Right.
There's been multiple wars. There's even been two world wars prior to this where Christians had to step up and go out. And sorry, but they had to kill a bunch of people in order to defend this nation and to defend, from other nations from being taken over by communists.
Right.
And so lots of people had to die, and they were Christians. I mean, yes. There's been so many wars since the resurrection of Jesus. So to say that, well, no. Ever since Jesus came back, we are now strictly just, the only thing that we're allowed to do is just, turn the other cheek. That is not true. That is not true. That's right. That's a misinterpretation.
Yeah.
Yep.
For sure.
Yep.
Well, now that we're introducing the show, we're almost into the break.
Right. Well, so we need to get to the humility verses. And so the humility verses for today, it comes from three different sections because the first one popped up and then I ran into this other one and it ties into the other one too. And so it's really kind of a cool progression. And here it goes. The first part of the humility verse comes from Proverbs chapter 29, verses 22 and 23 that reads, "An angry man stirs up strife," because we keep running into that, right?
Yes.
that seems to be everywhere. "An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression." And of course, the core of that is pride, right?
Yeah.
And so then it reads in 23, "A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor." And so you kind of go, well, yeah, that's pretty weak. It'll, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Big deal, right? we're talking about pride marching through streets in homosexual parades.
Right.
Kids,
naked, in front of children.
Yes. Can't it be a little bit more, more of a hard hitter than just "the humble in spirit will retain honor"? Well, okay. So then you go backwards to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33, that says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor, is humility."
There we go.
And so then suddenly "the humble in spirit will retain honor" has a little bit more depth when you understand that honor comes before humility, and that, again, tying that into "the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility," tying "before honor is humility" into wisdom, right?
Right.
So wisdom ties in with humility as well. Whatever you're learning and understanding first of all, the fear of the Lord is where it all starts.
Mm-hmm.
And then that ties into Proverbs 16:5 that says, "Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord."
Ooh.
And that ties directly back to the first part of 33 and 15 that says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom." So then you've got fear of the Lord first, wisdom. This is the product. The fear of the Lord
fear
first.
Fear to wisdom.
Yep. Fear to wisdom. Wisdom to humility.
Yes.
So if you're wise, you will have humility, because before honor is humility. So you go from wise to humility and retaining honor. And everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. So if you fear the Lord and you worried about your pride coming across as abomination to the Lord, well, then it's wisdom that you're going to back off of pride, like right now.
Yes.
Right? So pride and humility are directed, first of all, by the fear of the Lord.
Right.
So how cool is that? How that all ties in? That was really awesome.
That was really cool.
And that was a total accident. So that was the best part.
You thought it was an accident.
right. How many coincidences are there with God, right?
That's right.
So
well,
cool.
Well, good. Thank you. Well, let's repeat those
okay. So
scriptures for folks to write those down and read them and meditate on those today.
Right, if they want to look into them themselves. Okay, so first off, it was Proverbs chapter 29, verses 22 and 23. And then after that, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33, and Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5.
All right.
Being the last one that ties it all together.
Okay, well, good. Thank you for that.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, it
was. I mean, not on my part. That was cool because that's the way things work with God.
That's the way it works.
All right, God is just cool.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, and so then the word of the day for Monochromatic Monday comes to us from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 11 through 18 that read, "Then it happened as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, 'My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen.' So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, 'Where is the Lord God of Elijah?' And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, 'The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha.' And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Then they said to him, 'Look, now there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley.' And he said, 'You shall not send anyone.' But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, 'Send them.' Therefore he sent 50 men, and they searched for 3 days, but did not find him. And when they came back to him, for he had stayed in Jericho, he said to them, 'Did I not say to you, do not go?'" And that's it. I love that. That cool. That's just
that is a cool scripture. Yeah, Elisha. Yeah, he did. He took over the ministry, and I had forgotten about that part of him dividing the water.
I know.
Taking Elijah's mantle, striking the water, and just walking across the river. Like Moses, just like when the Israelites crossed the river to go into Israel. So that's three different times the water was parted in the Bible.
You had remembered that when Elijah was taken up, his mantle fell off him. Because that was what we were talking about. Well, do your clothes get left here during rapture? You know, so that's a good question. That's a good question.
Yeah, we'll probably be immediately wearing garments of righteousness.
I want my rapture ready T-shirt on when that happens.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding.
I might be laying on the floor.
I hope so. That would be cool.
That was pretty good. Well, we need to take a short break so we can have short segment two. We went long, but man, very interesting discussion.
Fun stuff.
Yeah. Okay, stick around. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. We'll be back right after this. With his own hands, then he gave me the Son of Man.
Certainly understand that some have chosen to attack the integrity of the Justice Department and its components and its employees by claiming that we do not treat like cases alike. This constitutes an attack on an institution that is essential to American democracy.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Welcome back to segment two of the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, broadcasting from the Free Zones. And thank you for those of you who have been helping to support us and keep us on the air. We are listener supported, And we are very grateful for those of you. Go to radiofreeredoubt.com and click on the Donate to RFR tab to find out the different ways that you can support us. We are very grateful. All right, Lady Liberty, we've got a couple things. One, we've got this great clip coming up. I'll let you introduce it, but it ties into what we were just saying.
Right.
God. Where's God? I mean, we need... Not where's God. That was Elisha.
Right.
No. Is our separation from God.
Right.
Is why we are where we're at right now. The yep. violence.
Yep, exactly.
The wickedness.
Yep.
The corruption, you know, on all levels.
But that's right. And so this clip here is from Carrie Lake, who was attending the Faith and Freedom Coalition over this weekend with Donald Trump in Washington, D.C. And so listen to what she has to say.
The fact that we're all here together means that we care so much for our country and really for our future generations. So I'm thrilled to be here. Not exactly thrilled to be in Washington, D.C. again. But hey, what's happening in this room is so powerful because we have the power of God in this room. When the people possess the power of God, anything is possible. And I kind of feel like, not kind of, I know that's what went wrong with Washington. They shoved God out. When they shoved God out, evil crept in. And that's why what is happening in Washington right now on many levels is downright evil. And we need some good, God-fearing people to turn this around. Who's
well,
in it?
Speaking of God-fearing, right?
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, that's what we need. We need not just God-fearing, but the whole sequence. You know, when you fear God.
It's wisdom, and then humility.
Humility, yep.
And right? Honor.
But then also bold and courageous.
That's right.
Bold and courageous.
Always.
And, you know, we're at a very precarious point. And a lot of shifting and moving. Now, we also can't get too taken aback by, oh, I can't believe all the wickedness. Well, do you believe we're in the end times or not?
Right.
You know, and what did he say it was going to look like? What was the world going to look like? So I guess for most of it, we still need to stand for righteousness and stand up against the wickedness and so on.
Yep.
But also not lose sight of the fact that, you know, this all rests on our shoulders to fix America. Well, if we are really living in the end times that we believe we are, all this wickedness isn't going to rise up in a 24-hour period after the rapture.
It has to start setting its foundations.
Yes, the infrastructure being put in place for that whole world system that we were told was coming and what it would look like.
That's right.
So anyway, you guys have a blessed day out there. You be safe and join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Pacific right here.
That's right. You all have a marvelous monochromatic Monday and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.